This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, May 14th, 2015, The Ascension of Our Lord Jesus Christ, by Father William Doc Holliday.
And they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the Feast of the Ascension, primarily two, off the top of my head, that I could think of, events in the Scriptures that defy absolutely anything that binds you to earth. The first one is the Transfiguration and the Ascension. The reason I say that is because everything, even the miracle stories of our Lord, making blind people see and deaf people hear and raising cripples, raising people from the dead, it still has an earthly connotation. His resurrection has an earthly connotation inasmuch as he was bodily resurrected from the dead. Okay, there's nothing just purely supernatural and otherworldly about it. Yes, overcoming death. But if you really think about it, Lazarus was raised from the dead, right? So even after the resurrection, someone could look at our Lord who didn't quite believe he was God and say, well, look, God just raised him from the dead just like Lazarus. There would be that question, this sort of an earthly feeling about the whole thing. But in the Transfiguration and in the Ascension, you have things that transcend anything that binds to earth. The Transfiguration. Three of the chosen apostles are taken up to the mount, and the one with whom they had walked for 3 years, the one who was their teacher, their rabbi, even, and this is after Peter's confession, even when they confessed as Lord, the Son of God, he's still Jesus. But for a little bit, just an inkling of who he always had been in his deity is put forth before them. And these ones who, again, one of them being the one who the Lord opened his eyes to confess him as the Son of the living God, falls on his face as if he is dead. Didn't he believe what he said before? Why should this surprise him? Because when you see deity, when you see something from heaven, it overcomes everything in this world. The Ascension is the same thing. The Ascension even more so because by the Ascension, our Lord opens heaven to flesh. Think about that. Before this, before the Ascension, flesh and blood had never been in heaven, ever. Okay? Adam and Eve, they're the first creatures. They're made from the slime. God breathes his Holy Spirit upon them. They receive a soul, and they fall. And from henceforth, no one can inherit the kingdom of heaven. And they did not, because of their fall. Jesus Christ opens the door to heaven for us. Flesh is there now. The same flesh that you and I have right this moment, the same flesh that the God-man himself walked through this earth, is in heaven right now, along with his blessed mother, who was assumed body and soul into heaven. It proved to us even more that we are the inheritors. We could just sit back and go, oh yes, the God-man's in heaven, but what about just the pure creature, our blessed mother, immaculately conceived, but nonetheless a creature has inherited heaven also. Just a little bit more proof positive. But when we look at this issue, this event of the Ascension, is that our Lord being taken away from us, again, you know, think about it, his apostles are with him, his blessed mother is with him. Can you fathom as a mother to have lost a son, got to be the most horrendous thing, I can't imagine, the most horrendous thing on the face of the planet, to lose a child. Our blessed mother loses her child, he's dead, she's crushed, and he comes back to life. No mother on the face of the planet has ever had their son come back to life for them. So can you imagine the joy? And now 40 days later, what happens? He gets taken up again. His apostles, again, after his resurrection, even coming back from the dead, Thomas putting his hands into his wound in his side, putting his fingers through the holes in his hands and his feet, then he believes. But even we have an account in the Gospels that even at this time of the Ascension, when they gather together right before he gives a blessing, there were still some who doubted. He had been dead, and now he's alive, and they still doubt. What did they doubt? Did they doubt the resurrection? No, because he's standing right in front of them. What did they doubt? Again, this question of Lazarus was risen from the dead. Is this just another, is this the great prophet, just the prophet, who is being taken up into heaven? Well, there's a couple things that are different about our Lord. Elijah, for instance, was taken up into heaven, but a chariot from heaven came down and picked him up and took him to heaven. No one came down and picked our Lord up. He went into heaven because he wanted to. He went into heaven because it was time for him to go into heaven. And as I said before about this lost thing, you'd think his mother would be crushed, his apostles, the ones who ran and hid when he was crucified and died and buried in the tomb. You would think that they would be overwhelmed with grief. Not at all. It says, after he's ascended into heaven, after they're gazing up there and they're admonished by the angels to, why are you gazing up into heaven? He's going to come back, just like he said. Just like he said he was going to raise from the dead, and he did. He's going to come back. They went away rejoicing. His blessed mother did not shed a tear. She was rejoicing. Why? Because by ascending into heaven, he truly shows that he is God. Nobody takes him into heaven. It's his. He made it. That's why he went back up, because it was time for him to do so. Another reason that those folks rejoiced at it is because there was no doubt in their mind that he was God. The response for the responsorial psalm tonight comes from Psalm 46, 47 if you use a newer version. Clap your hands, all you people, shout to God with loud songs of joy. God has gone up with a shout. God has gone up with a shout. This was written more than a millennium before our Lord even took in air on this planet. And they're talking about, for the Jew, the Old Testament Jew, God is in heaven. God is the one who's up there. He's transcendent. He's untouchable. And you have to, you know, he gives you a law and you just have to do what he says. You got to be scared of him. You would think that, okay, the psalmist would say, clap your hands, all you peoples. God is in heaven. No, God has gone up. It's a prophecy of the ascension. When the Blessed Mother and the Apostles see him ascend into heaven, they know this. It comes to fulfillment for them. This one who is going up into heaven of his own volition is none other than God Almighty himself. And when you know that you serve God and you're faithful to God, then everything falls into place. They knew that where he was going, where there is joy everlasting, that awaited them, because they served God. They did not serve a philosophy that he taught. They didn't serve a prophet. They served the living and true God in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why they rejoiced. That's why we should rejoice. Let's take the focus off Jesus and his ascension into heaven for a second and apply it to us. Because the same thing that was communicated to the apostles is communicated to us. This idea that we serve, just as they did, one who owns heaven. One who owns where there is everlasting, unending, unfathomable, inconceivable joy and goodness for eternity. And when we get that in our minds, when we understand that, it makes us think of things in this world being, no matter whether they be very, very good and blessings or very, very horrible, everything here is fleeting. And our eyes should be on where our Savior is right now in heaven. To use terms always and forever in this world, no matter what it's for, a relationship, a job. You know, we have, how often do you hear that? Well, I'm always going to do that. Or we'll be together forever. No, you won't. To say that about anything in this world is a lie. It is an out-and-out lie. We're not together forever. No matter how much you love your spouse, for instance, the words that you say, the vows that you exchange when you get married, we'll be together forever. No. Haven't ever heard that once. Done a few weddings. Never heard that one. It is till death us do part. Everything here is fleeting. It ends. Everything. No matter how good and how blessed it is, it ends. Should that make us depressed? Absolutely not. Because our focus should be on our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. To say always or never or forever for in this world, it's the world of human, those are the words of human desire. To make things in this world eternal, and they are not. Even if they're pleasant. They are lying words, as I said, on earth, where everything ends. In this world, hardly do pleasures begin and they end. How often do you look forward to something? If you can remember back long enough to where you're a little child, you know, a summer vacation, you're going to go to an amusement park or something. 4 months, Christmas, 4 months. Oh, I'm going to get this for Christmas. 6 months. You wake up on Christmas morning, you open all the stuff, and darn, it's over. You know, when you have kids, I can't wait till they take their first step. I can't wait till they say a word. I can't wait till they graduate high school. I can't wait till they graduate college and get out of the house. I can't wait for, by the time you can't wait for something, they're old. We wish our lives away. Everything here is fleeting. It can seem a long time when you look back on it, but then it just seems like yesterday. The emphasis is that things in this world, again, even the good things, they go away. Even human love. Love gives us so much consolation here, and it should, particularly if it's a holy love, a love based on Christ. What will love be in heaven? Because no matter how much you love someone or something here, it's going to go away. But in heaven, it will not. That's what the ascension brings to the forefront of our mind. That's good things in this world are fleeting. Worries in this world. We fret over a lot of things, and we can't help it. That's the way we're wired. We are apprehensive about things. We are anxious about things. Even the things we worry about, they go away. I mean, seriously, you never want to tell anybody who's got their recent phone call like this or anything, but this is where we learn things like this. You know, you get a phone call from the doctor and says, you only have 6 months to live. Guess what? 8 months from now, it's over. All right? We worry about that 6 months, but focus past that. Even those horrible things that could happen to us in this life that we worry about, we have to understand that they are fleeting also. So good things, worries, they're fleeting. The last thing that's fleeting in this is more for the examination of conscience of each and every one of us, and also for those whom we may know and love, who we know are outside the pale of the faith, that faith that the scriptures tell us in the gospel, that if you do not believe, you are condemned. We do not want that condemnation on anyone, particularly for ourselves, okay? Think of sin. Sin that keeps us away from this everlasting joy. Sin is fleeting. You toy with the ideas of this, that, or the other thing, particularly mortal sins. How limited and how pitiful is it to reject eternal salvation and eternal life of joy for something that could last 5 minutes? And I mean that in all literal. There are men who have lost their eternal souls over something that lasts 5 minutes and they never recover from that. How pathetic is that? And you're toying with this idea of sin, have that in your mind. Something that seems so great here, it will go away instantaneously. And you think it's good in your mind, and it's not. That even the good things may be an essential way that you think about it. Still, boom, it's over like that. and then the consequences fall upon you. So good things, worries, sin, they are all fleeting. This is where the ascension gets very, very practical for us. It is not just understanding the event. Oh, isn't Jesus great? He ascended into heaven because he's God. Something to believe and understand, but it goes farther than that for us as Catholics. It's not just understanding. It is practical. It is, with the Lord's help, to reflect the ascension in your lives and in your actions. How do you reflect the ascension in your lives and your actions? We are supposed to use our Lord Jesus Christ as the example for everything that we do in our lives. You know, we're all good with to love other people, to give to the poor, to be merciful, to do what he says in his lessons and things like that. That's important, very important. But we need to use his ascension as an example also. How? How do you do that? It has been the Catholic faith for well over 2,000 years to engage in discipline. Engage yourself in spiritual disciplines. Prayer, fasting, other works of corporal penance. Why? Why should I fast? Because it shows you, and it shows God, and it shows others that in some infinitesimally small way, you can overcome the things of this world. That you will deprive yourself. Food is good. Food is a blessing. I love food, probably more than I ought. To deprive yourself of this, that, or the other thing for a period of time, or to forego this or that, or just in the context of fasting, you are showing that you can overcome delights of this world because your focus is somewhere else. Your focus is on the heavenlies. That's why we do things like that. And you name your other corporal disciplines, yes. We are supposed to do things like that. Because again, God knows your heart. It proves something to yourself. It proves something to you and it proves to others. It is evangelistic when you do things like that. That is living through your lives and actions the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not about here, we are about there. Because the Holy Spirit, speaking through St. Paul, does not say that when you die, you will be seated with Christ in the heavenlies. The Holy Spirit says, you are, present tense, seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We are, by virtue of our baptisms, strengthened by the Eucharist. When we take divinity within ourselves, we are part of Jesus Christ in a very literal sense. All this talk about union with him and us, we in him, is true and objective. And where is he right now? He is in heaven, right? Because of the ascension. But he also said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. At the end of that gospel, the context of this gospel reading is the ascension. Jesus Christ going up into heaven. From a human perspective, that is away from his apostles and his blessed mother. And then it goes on to say, and they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message. It just said he went into heaven. How could the Lord work with them? Through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of whom he said, you will not receive him unless I go to the Father. And the Father will send him. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that makes the ascension. Not only did he go up into heaven, but he sent something from heaven to connect us with heaven. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who strengthens you to live this Catholic life. The Holy Spirit who directs you to do these things that prove to yourself and to others that you are about heaven and not about this place. It is about evangelism. It is about going and preaching to all creation. And when you do that, you don't have to worry. It's not you who's doing it. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ who is with you, working with you. And when we understand that, we understand that we do truly and can, of our own volition, live the ascension. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.